Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Friday morning, October 28, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. This is a podcast that is dedicated to the public reading of the Word of God and of prayer and devotion each morning. This was a podcast that was motivated by more and more studies coming out showing how biblically illiterate the society was, much less the church, and a realization that more and more people are finding it harder and harder to spend time in the Word of God. Now, some of that's very justified. You can see people, especially right now, people having to pick up extra jobs, trying to keep roof over their head and stuff as the inflation just continues to skyrocket. But at the same time, and I know this is one of my problems, that we become less and less diligent. There we go. Less and less diligent in managing our time. We spend more and more time on hobbies, which, don't get me wrong, it's not bad. I have my hobbies too. But we're spending more and more time on that, more and more time on streaming. Fact is, as much as I love streaming services, don't get me wrong, as a bash, I love to be able to go back and watch stuff that I've enjoyed, and to be able to watch it without commercial and stuff like that, because I hate commercials. I hate them. We mute them in our house. We do not listen to them. We mute them. And they are just an interruption. They are not a functional part of our lives. But we've become a streaming society, and we let that stream, and in some cases put us in a vegetative state or something similar. And I don't mean really a clinical vegetative state, but, you know, put us at a point where we're not putting our time into the Word of God. So in a realization of that, and having listened to a friend of mine's podcast, who I continue to listen to every day, who does public reading of the Word of God, but in a slightly different format and whatever, excuse me, it kind of hit me that maybe there was a need for people to, even if they aren't getting the time or aren't making the time either way, to sit down and read, at least on their drive in and to and from work, or even while they work. Sometimes I listen to podcasts while I work. It's going on in the background while I'm focusing on what I'm doing. Some people can do that. I happen to be capable of doing that, which always used to amaze my grandmother. Not that it really matters, but I'll tell you a story. We were visiting my grandmother in central Georgia, where we used to live while I was an adult with my wife and kids, but where my grandmother lived, and we would visit during the summers or around Christmas. And we had gone to church, we came home, and we were sitting down to the typical Southern midday dinner. And we're sitting there at the table, and my grandmother makes the comment and goes, "Well, I know Wayne didn't know what the pastor was saying." And I looked up and I go, and I was respectful, but I was like, I basically said, "Well, yes, Grandma, actually I do." And so she asked what it was. And so I told her what it was. She said, "Well, what were you reading?" Because I had a Bible open in my lap, and I was able to tell her what I was reading and what it said, at least in a non-saved state, what I saw it to say in the Bible. Of course, I wasn't saved at that point. And it amazed her. But don't get me wrong. Humans are not capable of multiple streams of consciousness. Okay. But at least in some cases, I'm able to swap back and forth pretty quick. So that's why I do podcasts in the back. It actually helps me to focus, or something going in the background. But that's what I was hoping, is maybe this podcast. So I say all that to say this. I was hoping this podcast, even if you're not going in and to and from work or whatever else, having the Word of God going would be a help to you. I know my wife and I, we have scripture being read on like a tablet or a device as we go to bed at night. And it's very, very comforting. And in some cases we have to turn it off because we're so interested in the story. But that was kind of what motivated me to try to come along and do this. Admittedly, I don't have the greatest voice. I don't do the greatest of reading. Obviously I've been very froggy, which is really, really weird. I've never really had this kind of problem. And maybe it's just because I'm using my voice a lot more. I don't know, whatever. But I was hoping that would assist any who wanted to bother to listen, to get deeper into the Word of God. Because the fact is, the temporal, the physical, the fleshly is not what's important. The spiritual is what's important. As I've said before, and as I say multiple times, and you've heard me, and I'm going to keep repeating it ad nauseum because it's that important. 10 out of 10 people will die, and 10 out of 10 people will face judgment. And the only difference between them will be whether Christ stands beside them as their advocate or not. And we can't earn that advocacy from Christ. We cannot earn it. It is a gift from God. And there's a process that goes into that. Not from us, but part of preparing ourselves that we're called to by the scriptures is to immerse ourselves in the scriptures, to immerse ourselves in prayer, to immerse ourselves under the solid teaching and preaching of the Word of God, to prepare ourselves for the work of the Holy Spirit when God sends him, if God sends him, and I would pray that he would for you, that God sends him to work that work of regeneration, to bring you to a point of repentance and true faith in Jesus Christ. And you're not going to get there. You're not going to even come close. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God will fail in saving those he ordained to save before the foundation of the world. I'm not arguing that. That I absolutely agree. Believe that. Absolutely believe that. That he will save those he has ordained from before the foundation of the world. He absolutely will save them. I'm not disparaging that. But he uses means, and part of those means is you and I more and more delving into the Word of God, more and more digging in. And for those that are saved, that's how we're sanctified. That's how we're saved. That's how we're sanctified. Okay. Both of those are done by the same instrumentation. So we've got to be in there. We've got to get in there. That is what brings us to that point of humility, that point of abject humility, knowing that we are, as I've said before, my friend's email address, which I love, fetid pond scum, because that's how he sees himself before a holy and just God. That's the level of humility we have to be at, or even further that we have to be at. So that's what that's what exposure to the scriptures and to prayer and to devotion and to preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And we're not spending enough time each morning for me to preach and teach to you. And honestly, preaching and teaching is better and functions better face to face. So that's why I'm not trying to preach sermons over here, though I'm trying to train to be a preacher. But at least this time, at least I can help you, or at least I hope I can help you by helping you to be more and more in the Word of God each morning. So again, and I know this was long-winded, but that's why I do this each morning. Doesn't have anything to do with me. Doesn't have anything to do with patting myself on the back and going, oh, looky what I did, or to make me feel better or make people think better of me. Anything but I know what a wretched sinner I am. I absolutely do. And I'm convinced more and more of it each day. It's kind of like Paul's, where he goes from I am the least of the apostles and then stair steps down to I am the worst. I am the greatest of sinners. Yeah, that's what happens more and more each day for me. I become more and more aware each day of what an abject sinner I am and how dependent I am on the grace of God for salvation. So that's what motivates this. So I hope it helps you come to that point in your life. So I forgot to say it yesterday, but I'll go ahead and say it now. The links will be in the show notes for everything I'm going to read this morning, where you can read it online. There are also links in the show notes to hard copies of the Valley of Vision, where we read our prayers from, of Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, where we do our devotion from, and to the Legacy Standard, where you can get a copy of the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the translation we're reading from, because at this point, it is the most textually accurate to the earliest manuscripts we have of the Bible. There is also a link there of a PDF that contains Robert Murray McShane's Read the Bible in a Year plan, which is what we're following, as well as his letter to his congregation explaining why he wrote it and how to use it. So, sorry, need a little coffee there. I don't mean to slurp in your ear. Oh, good coffee. And I'm sitting here with the Avenger mug on. Use it. The Avenger mug full of coffee, which is my wife's, but I use it more than she does, which doesn't make her happy, but I do it anyways. Not to make her mad, but I use it because it's a bigger mug. I mean, it is a big mug, and it is a big mug full of coffee. All right, well, let's go ahead and get on with our reading. We are going to do our, as we do each day, we're going to do our prayers first. And as we do, as is our practice each day, we're going to do three prayers from the Valley of Vision. We're going to do our two regular ones we do each day, resting on God and grace and trials. And then we're going to do the 6 day morning prayer, with Friday being the 6 day morning, the morning of the 6 day. So as I said, let's go ahead and get started with our prayer time with resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed, but thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. All right, and now grace and trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trust, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan starts quickly and flame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee. For Jesus' sake, amen. This is the sixth day morning prayer. It's called the Gospel. O thou most high, creator of the ends of the earth, governor of the universe, judge of all men, head of the church, savior of sinners, thy greatness is unsearchable, thy goodness infinite, thy compassions unfailing, thy providence boundless, thy mercies ever new. We bless thee for the words of salvation. How important, suitable, encouraging are the doctrines, promises, and invitations of the gospel of peace. We are lost, but in it thou hast presented to us a full, free, and eternal salvation. Weak, but here we learn that help is found in one that is mighty. Poor, but in him we discover unsearchable riches. Blind, but we find he has treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We thank thee for thy unspeakable gift. Thy Son is our only refuge. Foundation is our only refuge, foundation, hope, confidence. We depend upon his death, rest in his righteousness, desire to bear his image. May his glory fill our minds, his love reign in our affections, his cross inflame us with ardor. Let us as Christians fill our various situations in life, escape the snares to which they expose us, discharge the duties that arise from our circumstances, enjoy with moderation their advantages, improve with diligence their usefulness, and may every place and company we are in be benefited by us. Amen. All right, and our devotion this morning is the October 28th morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and this text for it is John 15:19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Here is distinguishing grace and discriminating regard. For some are made the special objects of divine affection. Do not be afraid to dwell upon this high doctrine of election. When your mind is most heavy and depressed, you will find it to be a bottle of richest cordial. Those who doubt the doctrines of grace, or who cast them into the shade, miss the richest clusters of Eshcol. They lose the wines on the lees well refined, the fat things full of marrow. There is no balm in Gilead comparable to it. If the honey in Jonathan's wood, when but touched, enlightened the eyes, this is honey which will enlighten your heart to love and learn the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Eat, and fear not a surfeit. Live upon this choice dainty, and fear not that it will be too delicate a diet. Meat from the king's table will hurt none of his courtiers. Desire to have your mind enlarged, that you may comprehend more and more the eternal, everlasting, discriminating love of God. When you have mounted as high as election, tarry on its sister mount, the covenant of grace. Covenant engagements are the munitions of stupendous rock behind which we lie entrenched. Covenant engagements, with the surety Christ Jesus, are the quiet resting places of trembling spirits. His oath, his covenant, his blood, support me in the raging flood. When every earthly prop gives way, this still is all my strength and stay. If Jesus undertook to bring me to glory, and if the Father promised that he would give me to the Son to be a part of the infinite reward of the travail of his soul, then my soul, till God himself shall be unfaithful, till Jesus shall cease to be the truth, thou art safe. When David danced before the ark, he told Michael that election made him do so. Come, my soul, exult before the God of grace, and leap for joy of heart. All right. And our scriptures this morning are 2 Kings 9, 1 Timothy 6, Hosea 1, and more verses from Psalm 119. And I'll tell you them when we get to it. It's a little harder to read with the way I'm doing this morning. So, 2 Kings 9. Now Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, gird up your loins, and take this flask of oil in your hand, and go to Ramoth-Gilead. And you will come there and look there for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. And you will come in and bid him arise from among his brothers, and you will cause him to come into an inner room. Then you will take the flask of oil and pour it on his head and say, Thus says Yahweh, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and do not wait. So the young man of the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead. Then he came, and behold, the commanders of the military were sitting. And he said, I have a word for you, O commander. And Jehu said, For which one of us? And he said, For you, O commander. And he arose and came into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said to him, Thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of Yahweh, even over Israel. And you shall strike the house of Ahab, your master, that I may avenge the blood of my slaves, the prophets, and the blood of all the slaves of Yahweh at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab every male person, both bond and free, in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the property of Jezreel, and none shall bury her. Then he opened the door and fled. Now Jehu came out to the servants of his master, and one said to him, Is all well? Why did this mad fellow come to you? And he said to them, You know this the man and his talk. And they said, It is a lie. Declare it to us now. And he said, Thus and thus he said to me, Thus says Yahweh, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then they hurried, and each man took his garment and placed it under him on the bare step, and blew the trumpet, saying, Jehu is king. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram, with all Israel, was guarding Ramoth-Gilead against Hazael, king of Aram. But King Joram had returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Arameans had struck him with when he fought with Hazael, king of Aram. So Jehu said, If this is your mind, then let no one escape or leave the city to go declare it in Jezreel. Then Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram was lying there. Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. Now the watchman was standing on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came, and said, I see a company. And Joram said, Take a horseman and send him to meet them, and let him say, Is it peace? So a horseman went out to meet him, and said, Thus says the king, Is it peace? And Jehu said, What have you to do with peace? Turn behind me. And the watchman declared, saying, The messenger came to them, but he did not return. Then he sent out a second horseman, and he came to them, and said, Thus says the king, Is it peace? And Jehu answered, What have you to do with peace? Turn behind me. And the watchman declared, saying, He came up to them, but he did not return. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives in madness. Then Joram said, Get ready. And they made his chariot ready. Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. And they went out to meet Jehu, and found him in the property of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now it happened that when Joram saw Jehu, he said, Is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, What peace, so long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her sorceries are so many? So Joram turned about and fled, and said to Ahaziah, There is deception, O Ahaziah. And Jehu drew his bow with his full strength, and struck Joram between his arms. And the arrow went through his heart, and he crouched down in his chariot. Then Jehu said to Bidkar his officer, Lift him up and cast him into the property of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For I remember when you and I were riding together after Ahab his father, that Yahweh lifted up this oracle against him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, says Yahweh, and I will repay you in this property, says Yahweh. So now lift him up and cast him into the property, according to the word of Yahweh. And Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this and fled by way of the garden house. And Jehu pursued him and said, Strike him down too in the chariot. So they struck him down at the ascent of Gur, which is at Iblim. But he fled to Megiddo and died there. Then his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem, and buried him in his grave with his fathers in the city of David. Now in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, Ahaziah became king over Judah. Then Jehu came to Jezreel, and Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked out the window. As Jehu entered the gate, she said, "Is it peace, Zimri, your master's killer?" Then he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And two or three officials looked down at him, and he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. Then he came in and ate and drank, and he said, "Take care now of this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." They went to bury her, but they found nothing more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they returned and declared it to him, and he said, "This is the word of Yahweh, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'In the property of Jezreel the dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel will be as dung on the face of the field in the property of Jezreel, so they cannot say, this is Jezebel.'" All right, 1 Timothy 6. "All who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be slandered. But those who have believers as their masters must not be disrespectful to them because they are brothers, but must serve them all the more because those who partake of the benefit are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited, understanding nothing, but having a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by aspiring to it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, O man of God, flee from these things, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal might. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or to set their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, which richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Command them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, turning aside from godless and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some, while professing, have gone astray from the faith. Grace be with you. All right, and then let's move on with Hosea. So we've finished up Daniel, and now we're in Hosea 1. The word of Yahweh, which came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When Yahweh first spoke through Hosea, Yahweh said to Hosea, "Go, take for yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry. For the land commits flagrant harlotry, forsaking Yahweh. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and gave birth to a son for him. And Yahweh said to him, Name him Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will visit the bloodshed of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and I will cause the kingdom of the house of Israel to cease. And it will be in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Then she conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And Yahweh said to him, Name her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have compassion on the house of Israel, that I would ever forgive them. But I will have compassion on the house of Judah, and save them by Yahweh their God. And I will not save them by bow, sword, battle, horses, or horsemen. Then she weaned Lo-Ruhamah, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. And Yahweh said, Name him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the numbers of the sons of Israel will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it will be that in the place where it is said to them, You are not my people, it will be said to them, You are the sons of the living God. And the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel will be gathered together, and they will set for themselves one head, and they will go up from the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. And Psalm 119, and we're going to read verses, I'm sorry, let me look this up. We're starting in verse 73. But 73 through 96, through verse 96. So, starting in verse 73, Psalm 119, verse 73. Your hands made me and established me. Give me understanding, that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. I know, O Yahweh, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. O may your loving kindness comfort me, according to your word to your slave. May your compassion come to me, that I may live. For your law is my delight. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they wrong me with lying. But I shall muse on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, and those who know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed. My soul fails with longing for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word, saying, When will you comfort me? For I am like a wineskin in the smoke, but I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your slave? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with lying. Help me. They almost made an end of me on the earth, but as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Forever, O Yahweh, your word stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness endures from generation to generation. You establish the earth, and it stands. They stand this day according to your judgments, for all things are your slaves. If your law has not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked hope for me to destroy me. I shall perceive your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. All right, and that's our reading for the day. Oh, well, it's Friday, so we've made it to the end of the week. It's always a blessed thing. I'm very grateful for it. I've had a good work week. I mean, it's not because, oh gosh, I don't want to work. I don't want to work. I actually love what I do. But it is nice to hit the weekend. I don't know what you've got planned this weekend, and I know we're coming up. Monday is Halloween. My wife and I are not big celebrators of Halloween, at least the way a lot of people think of it. Though with a grandson and this being his first Halloween, we are going to sit out and do candy, in our neighborhood. Actually, our son and daughter-in-law are going to come over, and because they live, they, they are the site residents for one of the schools here. So they live on the site on the school campus. It's one of the middle schools here. So there's no neighborhood for them that they live in for them to trick or treat in. So they're going to come trick or treat in our neighborhood, which is basically just across the street from them. Actually, the one thing between us is the bus barn for the school district, so, and a road. So they're going to come over here. So we're going to go ahead and do that with them for the first time in a while, which is fine. I don't mind sitting out there and giving out candy. That's fine. I'm not a big fan, obviously, because of what I'm doing with all the demonic and, you know, and all that stuff. I'm just not, like, I've never been a real fan of horror movies and stuff like that. So just personal preference there. But we are going to be doing, our church is doing a trunk or treat combined with a harvest festival. So we will be doing a trunk or treat up in our church parking lot out on Colossal Cave Road. This is in Vail. It's Vail Valley Baptist Church. We'll be doing it. And I'm going to be doing something, and I would ask that you pray for me. The pastor has asked me to do something. It in a certain way, in a Halloween type of way, I'm going to be attempting to share the gospel with the children and the parents. And so, you know, it's one thing to share the gospel with an adult. You're on a more level playing field, but I'm going to be sharing it with children and trying to do so in a manner that I don't terrify them and scar them for life as far as raw human fear, but that I share the gospel with them. Because to be honest, we're already sharing the gospel with our grandson, and he can't even talk yet. And we're doing it not in an idea that, oh, he's got to be able to understand this at 11 months old. We're not that deluded, but we know that it is our responsibility as his grandparents to continue to share the gospel with him throughout his life. That's what we're called to. That is our responsibility as his predecessors. And so, but of course, even at this age, we can share it relatively normally because he's not sitting there going, wait, what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, like a kid. I don't understand. But I'm going to be with little kids and trying to share the gospel in a Halloween-y way, but at the same time sharing it for both them and the adults. And my wife and I were talking about it last night. We think we have a way to do this. But I'm concerned about it because I want to make sure I don't scare any of the children. I mean, outright terrify them. But at the same time that I truly hold to the word of God and I truly share the gospel, I don't dumb it down. I don't weaken it, but I don't scare them away from ever coming back. And I'm not trying to be seeker sensitive or any of that kind of thing. It's just, these are kids and you have to approach them different. You can't approach them the same way you would an adult. So I'm trying to make sure that I think through that. At the same time, I would definitely love prayer as I'm heading on into this possible, hopefully probable, new ministry that I'm still waiting to tell you about it till I've gotten started with it and we see what's really going to happen here. But with that and regular church attendance and trying to go back to school, life's starting to fill up fast and actually being asked by the pastor, because I'm a pianist, I know Tom, my buddy Tom knows this, that I played piano for most of my life. Heck, he was with me. We were roommates at college while I was a music student. I was a music education major when I started college the first time. And I'd been playing piano since I was 8 years old, so I didn't take the basic piano class like everybody else. I actually had a professor, and I was actually doing lessons, and she had me playing Beethoven piano sonatas and Rachmaninoff piano concertos and Mozart and, you know, you name it. But that was a long time ago. And arthritis has crept in and nerve impingement and you name it. So I don't know about that, but that'd be one more thing on my plate. And my wife and I are trying to biblically evaluate this. As much as I want to help and serve the church, I do need to be a good husband for my wife, and that means I need to be able to spend time with her and not overwhelm myself with all this other. So we're trying to find the right balance there. So we could definitely use prayer in that way. I don't know that he listens to me. I don't think he does, but I got a brother out there, Stephen, in Florida, that has seemed to be struggling to find a job and stay there. He found a great job, was doing great, and all of a sudden got laid off a couple weeks ago. And so he and his wife, he's out there looking for another job in the middle of Florida. And, you know, and in the process, they were in part of the area that was hit by the Hurricane Ian as it came through. So I would imagine that might have something to do with him being laid off, because the business might be struggling to stand itself back up. So, but he is my brother in Christ, and he's actually put in for a couple of positions at a great place, a place even I would love to work. And so I definitely would ask you to pray for Stephen in Florida. I'm not giving out his last name because I don't have his permission to do so. I just, something I was thinking about just now, and he's somebody I want to pray for. And we need to continue to pray for our nation. I said it yesterday. I've said it repeatedly over the last couple of weeks. Our country's gone the way of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's falling. And I would have to agree with my pastor. I don't think our culture is rescuable. I don't think we can rescue it. I think we have to develop another culture that is separate from it and develop it biblically. And as that one crashes, we support this one. It's not that we ignore the culture of our country around us, but where the United States has gone at this point. And I hate to say this because I served, I sacrificed. I've told you this before. I missed my oldest son's first steps and first words because I was deployed. And believe me, mine is not an uncommon story. I'm one of many. And many out there have sacrificed much, much more than I have, even up to and including their life for this country. So I was very blessed to not have had to sacrifice more. But I'm sorry. Our country has gotten to the point, it makes Sodom and Gomorrah look like choir boys. It really does. I am sorry, but we have turned this country into a pit of debauchery. Into a pit of debauchery. Where we are murdering babies in the womb right up to birth. I mean, I'm sorry. It is a life at conception. And it is a distinct life at conception. And your point of choice was whether you were going to have sex or not. Not an unprotected sex or not, not when you got pregnant. That is all of a sudden a different life, and it is not your choice. Your choice was before that, and you messed up. You need to now deal with the consequences. That is life. That is real life. And we're mutilating children in the name of supporting a mental illness. With medicine and with physical procedures, where some of those who are now detransitioning are scarred. They've been sterilized. They cannot produce. I mean, and we've still got a society that continues to try to sterilize what used to be called the minorities, that are sterilizing people of color. They would rather sterilize them. They're running around in the news saying, well, the reason you're in financial issue is because you keep having financial problems. It's because you keep having children. Stop having children. That's sterilization. You're trying to encourage them not to procreate. You're trying to encourage, they're trying to encourage black and brown people, African-American, Hispanic folks, not to have kids. They're trying to encourage them not to procreate. That's racism. I mean, duh. That's racism. It's racist. all should be encouraged to procreate. At their choice, of course, but they're encouraging them. They're terrifying this youngest generation about the idea of, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez running around trying to tell people, don't have kids. It's terrible. Why would you bring kids into this world? And don't get me wrong. I've had those same kind of, and of course my kids were already born when all this stuff started and grown, but even they have thought about it and they want to have children. They know having children is what they want to do. But at the same time, they are terrified to bring them in because of what's being said. Now, yeah, some of it is because of how crazy the world has gotten. But when you have the talking heads who have shown themselves to be completely incapable of functioning, running around and telling people not to have children, that's as much sterilization as if you turned around and, you know, gave them vasectomies or hysterectomies or whatever else. That is as bad. And God commands us to go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. We are to marry. We are to have children. We are to raise those children. We are to pass down the word of God through them. We're called to do that. And this world is encouraging us not to. That's why we have to have a separate culture. A separate culture that will continue to stand regardless of whether the United States perseveres. And honestly, I don't know that it will. I wish it would, but it is not my responsibility to prop up the United States. It is my responsibility to proclaim the word of God. And it is my responsibility to walk as a child of God, to walk as Christ walked. That's it. That's it for all of us. That's why I do this podcast, to help myself and to help you, to share this part of my morning routine and help you. All right, I've rambled on enough. I know you probably didn't want to hear all that, but sometimes I feel like I got to share. And I share because I love you. I really do. I know that sounds goofy, maybe, coming from a man in this age, even the, and I'm sorry, I'm going to be controversial, but even the girly men that are being produced, which we are not to be. There is nothing wrong with a masculine man. There is something wrong with an abusive man, absolutely, but there's nothing wrong with a masculine man. And where was I going with that? I got lost. But anyways, I do love you. That's where I was going. But I do love you. That's why I do this. And I really have worked myself to a point, moved myself to a point. God has worked in me to bring me to a point where I love the people around me. I love the world around me. I'm not just talking my neighbors. I truly love you, whether I know you personally or not. I love you. That's why I do this. That's why I'm driven to share the gospel. That's why I'm driven to preach, because I love you and I want you to know what I know. I want you to know it. I want you to know it deep in your heart and in your soul, and for it to change, for it to remove that heart of stone, for it to be used by the Holy Spirit to remove that heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. Because I love you. All right. So let's go ahead and pray and we'll wrap up for the day. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to have been able to spend this time together this morning in your word and in prayer and in devotion. Dear Lord, again, we would pray that this time would help to lift us up, to equip us, to edify us, to hedge up our ways so that we truly walk as imitators of you and imitators of Christ. Dear Lord, that's what we're called to do. We need to be a light in this world, not to rescue the culture around us, but to glorify you, to develop a culture counter to what's going on in this world, to show this world what godly culture truly is, and that it is what you established this world for, not what they've done with it. Dear Lord, please bless us as we go forward into this weekend. Please watch over us and help us to truly shine your light in this world. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. And in closing, I'm going to remind you, and I'll do it tomorrow too. You got 48 hours. I've told you about the church finders at Founders Ministry and Grace to You. I don't know if Founders is back up from Ian and all that stuff, but find yourself a solid church and be in church Sunday. We all need to be there. doing it from the streaming it on whatever on your streaming devices is not church. Barring physical limitations, we need to be in church and we need to be fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So be there. All right. You go have a great one. And let me get my thingy over there so I can stop the recording. Go have a great day. I love you. God bless.